This week, there is a very obvious question in front of us. And that question is, where is Jesus? It's a question that is asked in the text, and it's a question, I dare say, that we all have asked, do ask, and will ask. Where is Jesus? Where is God? The story that we've been reading of the crucifixion and the resurrection, the disciples are asking this all the time. They watched him be tried and killed, and they say, where is Jesus? This guy we thought was the Messiah just got murdered. Where is he? And there's doubt and there's fear, and they're hiding in locked rooms, and they don't know. Jesus shows up a couple times. This story we read says it was the third time. So Jesus appears to the disciples over 40 days, and then he ascends into heaven. The first 3 weeks, according to this passage, he only shows up 3 times in 3 weeks. And the trauma that they went through, 3 times is not very much. It's enough space in between that they were probably filled with doubt in between those meetings. Was that really him? Are we crazy? What's going on? Are we seeing things? Was it really him? It looked like him. It didn't look like him. Where is Jesus? Peter, in this case, they had been down in Jerusalem, and they're back up in Galilee now, back up in their old hometown. Jesus still isn't showing up, and they're wondering, where is Jesus? And Peter just slips right back into old routine, old life. He had been a fisherman, and so I'll go fishing. I don't know. Just goes back to normal life. Where is Jesus? I don't know if you realize this. It's hard to tell 2 weeks in a row, but John, the book of John that we just read from, chapter 21, actually already ended in chapter 20. This is the end of chapter 20. Then Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the disciples' presence, signs that aren't recorded in this scroll, but these things are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son, and that by believing, you will have life in his name. That sounds like the end, doesn't it? Like the end. But it then says, later, Jesus himself appeared again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. So in other words, what we think happened is that John, or whomever, wrote the Gospel of John. The end, chapter 20. And this is maybe 50, 80, 100 years after Jesus has risen from the dead. And his church is asking the question, but where's Jesus? We thought Jesus was going to come back and take us. We thought he was coming back soon and it would all be fixed. Where is Jesus? And the church that this book was written for first was asking the question, where is Jesus? And so we think that John, or a disciple of John, decided to write one more story and add it to the book. All right? Let me tell you one more thing about how Jesus shows up. Where is Jesus? Is the question. It's a question that we ask all the time. And for a lot of us, we've been asking it this last week. For a lot of us, we asked it often yesterday. Where is Jesus? God, where are you? It's a question we ask when we think about evil in the world. We think, God, how come little children die? How come Sam gives birth to twins and only one of them is alive now? How come Amy's good friend Sarah gets killed in a car wreck? How come grandma is losing her mind. A lot of us have a lot of respect for Rachel Held Evans, and she passed away. She's 37 years old. Two kids who are under three. Jesus, where are you? This story, like I said, was written for us. This story is written for people who ask, Jesus, where are you? I just read it, but the basic story is Jesus isn't showing up very often. They're probably still scared, still full of doubt. Peter says, I'm going to go fishing. And his friends say, we'll go with you. Because what else is there? So they go fishing and they get skunked. I don't know if you've ever been fishing and been skunked. It's kind of a bummer. I mean, they do call it fishing, not catching, but still. It's a bummer of a night, especially when you're bummed out. You just want to go fish and feel better. And they got skunked. And then some stranger is on the shore. Says, hey, did you catch anything? No, got skunked. They aren't biting. Throw it over on the other side of the boat. Psh, fine. And they did. And they catch a lot of fish. What does it say? How many? 153? Which is a bizarre detail to add, isn't it? I want to find that number. Was it 153? 153. There's a theory that it's 153 because at the time this was written, there was a theory that there were 153 kinds of fish in the world. And so this is like, they caught all the fish, all the kinds of fish, all the stuff. And they drag it to shore. And there's Jesus. On the shore, making breakfast. And he says, you know, bring some of what you have. And they have breakfast. And he comes and he breaks bread. And they know it's him. But they're not quite sure. And he has this conversation about feeding my lambs. And I really am convinced that John includes this story for us who say, where is Jesus? And here is the answer. There's so much to say about this, but this is what I want to say today. Where is Jesus? When your friend dies, when your grandma is suffering, when a baby passes away, Jesus, where are you? God, what? Where? Where are you? Jesus is on the shore. Jesus is on the shore making breakfast for you. And we can call that shore any number of things. We can call that shore the shores of doubt. Maybe you showed up this morning, but you don't really know that this church stuff is for you. Maybe you're really unsure of it all. Huh? Sometimes I am too. Jesus is there on the shore for you and for me. Maybe you're full of anger, hatred. Jesus is on the shore of anger. Jesus is on the shore of sickness, the shores when evil is reigning, the shores that we call cancer, the shores that we call fear, the shores that we call death. Jesus is there on the shore making breakfast. He's giving you a gift. At a fire, some bread and some fish. Saying, bring some of what you have, which according to the story, Jesus just gave them anyway. 153 fish, all of the kinds, I think that might mean for us all of the kinds of doubt, all of the kinds of fear, all of the kinds of anger, all of the ways we ask, Jesus, where are you? All of those things. Jesus says, bring all those to me. Where is Jesus? Jesus is on the shore making you breakfast. Now, this calls for faith on our part, to trust, because we won't always recognize Jesus. And this is important. I'm telling you, Jesus is on the shore. And it sounds nice, but you're going to say, yeah, right, I don't see him. Neither did the disciples. One of them said, it's the Lord. And so sometimes we have to trust what other people say to us. Jesus is there on the shore. Whatever that shore is for you, Jesus is on the shore making you breakfast, making you food to feed you in any of your doubt, fear, and sickness. Jesus is there on the shore. And it calls for faith. The prayer that Don prayed this morning, let's pray it again. Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Open the eyes of our faith, because we won't recognize Jesus. Let me tell you, doubt is a normal part of faith. All we can do is trust what other people say. You come every week and listen to me blabber. I hope that you'll just trust me. I have to listen to myself. I've got to trust me. I've got to trust the book. I've got to trust the people who taught me. Somebody's saying, it's the Lord. There on the shore making breakfast. And our job is to trust it even when we can't see it. Rachel Held Evans passed away this last week, and I want to share with you a quote from her. The gospel doesn't need a coalition devoted to keeping the wrong people out, which is what a lot of the church is about. It's one of the reasons we can't see Jesus, because so much of the church is busy building walls and kicking people out. You're not good enough. You're too... whatever it might be, get out, stay away. She says, we don't need people keeping people out. What the gospel needs is a family of sinners, sinners full of doubt, full of anger, full of fear, full of wondering where in the world is Jesus. Saved by grace, committed to tearing down the walls, throwing open the doors and shouting out to the world, welcome, there's bread and wine. Come and eat and talk with us. Because there's Jesus on the shore making breakfast. This isn't a kingdom for the worthy. It is a kingdom for the hungry. It's a kingdom for the people who need some breakfast because they're beat and tired. Don't be scared to ask, where is Jesus? When life is crashing down. It's a question all disciples of Jesus ask. In fact, if you don't ask that, you might wonder about your own faith. Don't be scared to ask, where is Jesus? But hear me. He is on the shore making you breakfast. God, thank you that you are cooking breakfast for us in the midst of our sorrow and pain and doubt. Would you please open the eyes of our faith that we might see you in all your redeeming work? You who are alive and reign with the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. One thing I meant to say in the sermon and I forgot to was, where is it that you might see Jesus? I said he's on the shore. We will see Jesus all over the place, and we won't often know it's Jesus. It might be a sunset. It might be a cup of coffee. It might be in your spouse or your children or a stranger. It might be somebody you love or somebody you hate. It might be a book, a blog post, a meme, a sermon, a song, a poem. It might come in crazy places, a record player that you wouldn't expect to be godly, but there might be Jesus with exactly what you need. It might be in the hands of a friend who made you a waffle, or who cut you a strawberry, or who poured you a cup of juice. Jesus is all over the place. If we would but have eyes to see. So this part of the service, when we stand and greet one another, one of the points of that is to pass the peace of Christ, which means you are being Christ to somebody. Somebody is being Christ to you. So as you stand and greet each other today, realize that there is the Lord. Even sometimes in and through you. May the peace of the Lord be with you always.